So we're in Chavis Halvavas Shara Knia, Perek Zayin, making our way through Shara Knia. Perek Zayin had been discussing symptoms of a nichna, symptoms of a person who has the mida of Knia. And we're up to the last one, Hachamishi. K'shumoychiach es nafshoi, v'noisin din abere me'atzma. When you see a person subjecting himself to Din Shamayim, even though he's not really being judged now, there's nobody who could judge him. Meaning when a person comes to Shamayim, then he's subject to Din Shamayim, whether he's a Nichna or not, right? But here we're talking about a person who really puts himself under the grind, puts himself through Din Shamayim, now in this world, when he's still, what's that? Oh, we'll explain momentarily what it means.
Has to do with the siddur too.
What's that?
Has to do with the siddur.
With the siddur?
When you're davening, it's giving you guidelines as to where you should be holding. You should be judging yourself every time you're davening.
Oh, okay. Okay, good, good. So what does this mean? So let's see. Momentarily, we'll illustrate it. Tis barak niyase bedekim. Basically, what this means is, in a broad sense, the ability to chap yourself, oh, I am guilty of X, Y, Z. Now, this is interesting because we wouldn't necessarily categorize this with kinyan. In a general way, what we might say that this is the concept of cheshbon hanefesh, the concept of owning up to your mistakes, owning up to your sins, owning up to your faults. He's putting that under the category of kniya, that a person already considers himself under the yoke of Hashem. Now, in a way, this is bringing home to us that kniya, we've seen a lot of things about kniya that are very, very sublime. Here, we're almost tripping and saying, one minute, this is what anyone conscientious does this. So you know what? It's true. It's true. So let's tell ourselves two things. First of all, Victor Miller would say this all the time, that when you're learning about sublime madrigas and midas, it's far more like Messiah Sishara and Shari Tshuva, Chavis Halvavis. Bifrat, when we're talking Messiah Sishara and Shari Tshuva, what characterizes them is that they provide you with a program of life that you never really graduate. There's always more to do in these far. But on the other hand, with all the midas, as elevated as they might be, you can already, at whatever level you're on, enter the zone. You can already be shaykh to it on some level. Now, this is really something that deserves more elaboration, but here we'll use this to, yes, I believe that this is something that we all do. Anybody conscientious, anybody who is in the ballpark of Torah Va'avoida is capable of sitting down and telling himself, here, what you did was wrong. You have to be like very, very spiritually obtuse to just always think that what you did is right. You have the people like that, but these are people who are not connected on a regular basis. They're not involved in Torah and Musa on a regular basis. Right? But we can enhance it by adding a dimension to it. We may often come from the approach of cheshbon hanefesh. I want to be on a path of growth, and therefore I have to be honest with myself and see where are my failings, whether particular failings or areas that need improvement. But the Chavis Halvavos is adding something here that with a little bit of thought we can actually integrate into that way of thinking, which again, I think we all do have. And that is that when you're sitting down to make your cheshbon hanefesh, it's not just about your path of growth. It's not just about mapping out your path of growth. It's not just about becoming aware of where you're holding and where you're not holding, but it's once again a dynamic in your relationship with Hashem. This was perhaps what we kept seeing coming through in the whole discussion of the Mid of Kniyah, the Chavis Halvavos, that anava is not something, humility is not something that stands in a vacuum, right? This is something that we kept on seeing. Humility is not something that stands in a vacuum, not having an inflated image of yourself. It's something that very directly relates to your dynamic with Hashem. It's being humbled before Hashem. This is what kept on coming through. And that's why he calls it kni'a, submissiveness. There's no such thing as being submissive when there's nobody around. You can be humble in a vacuum. You can have an honest or even low image of yourself in a vacuum without anybody else being in the picture. But you can't be submissive in a vacuum. Submissive, by definition, means that you are submitting yourself to someone else. So we've seen the whole concept of anava very much framed in the context of dynamics with Hashem. Sensing that you're in his presence, appreciating what that means, and feeling humbled, the reality of having your head bowed because you're in that great presence. So we're adding to this point too, that when you're making that cheshbon hanefesh, don't graduate, take it to the next level, rather than just do it in a vacuum because you need to be honest with yourself and you need to know what you're holding, etc. You can add this also as a dimension, as a dynamic in your relationship with Hashem. You say, oh, Hashem, I know that you see me as guilty on this and I'm acknowledging that. I'm, in a sense, what you're really doing is you're being mocked in din shamayim. You're inviting it on yourself instead of waiting till after 120 when it's going to be thrown in your face. You're actually putting yourself through that right now. And the benefits of doing that are unspeakable. It's you avoid it. You yotze it by yourself. And you don't have to do it then. So what we're really doing is taking the very famous concept of cheshbon hanefesh, taking the very famous concept of acknowledging your faults, which is even more basic than cheshbon hanefesh. All of us do this, acknowledging where we made mistakes, etc. And putting it into this context, into the context of I'm doing it with that sense of submission. Hashem, I'm lowering my head in shame and saying, here's where I messed up. And this actually is a very basic aspect of tshuva. We talk about charata, right? A basic aspect of tshuva is charata. It's one of the ikarim of tshuva. Rabbi Yehoshua expands that to busha. To busha. He expands the concept of charata to busha. Feeling that shame. That, here, this is something I should be embarrassed of. And with this, tisbarer kniyase le'dokim v'shiflusa v'shachusa. And this is where, yes, a person's standing, submissive standing before Hashem comes out. K'may she'ne'emar, like the pasuk says, anachnu ma'alnu be'lekeinu. Okay, where they were able to come and say, no, what's going on here is very wrong, and I lower my head. This is describing where Ezra came, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, he found the community that was left in Eretz Yisrael were the simplest, it was the lowest level of the community. All the quality people were carried off to Bava. When Ezra came back, he found the community in a very dismal state. Many of them were married to non-Jewish women. Many of them were married to non-Jewish women. Ezra made a massive tshuva campaign, and he brought them all to a state of tshuva, of recognition. And that's where also the pasuk that says, "Alekai boishti v'nichlamti la'arim panai lecha." I'm too ashamed to raise my head up to you. So that's all in this context. So nachnu ba'alnu b'nekeinu. We have betrayed our Hashem. Noyadam lahoitzin Hashem. And then they did go ahead and separate from these women. So this was a nationwide. Well, I won't say nationwide. I'd say whoever was in Eretz Yisrael then at the time when Ezra came back. It was an Eretz Yisrael-wide demonstration of them all lowering themselves, that submissiveness to Hashem that came through that confession. So this is another aspect of Kenia. So, okay.
Kenia, the easiest way to determine where you're holding by Kenia is whether you submit to the halacha. Whether you're learning halacha, or you're rav, or you're ready, and you submit,
it's true. In a general sense, we might say that kniya really is yirah shamayim brought to the maximum, right? That's what kniya is. That's why that's actually the pasuk of Musa's Yisharim quotes, right? Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is the heel of Anava. It's as the Gemara says that Anava begins where Yiras Hashem, where Yiras Shamayim ends. Once again, we're not talking about just humility in a vacuum, but we're talking about when a person's awareness of Hashem and a sense of awe of Hashem brings him to a place of just constantly being with his head lowered, constantly being with that sense of submission, with everything he does.
He's fulfilled the, all the halachas, and he sees that he himself always submitting. If someone comes along and knows more, says, that's not the way to do it. Why shouldn't he feel good about himself?
We're not talking about not feeling good about yourself. But we're talking about living with that submission.
Oh.
We're not talking about not feeling good about yourself. What's that? No, it requires your head down just because you're in that great sense, presence. But it doesn't necessarily require feeling lousy about yourself. It does require a sense of inadequacy, because even when you're fulfilling everything right, okay, we're chazering the assignments that he taught us here. Even when you're fulfilling everything right, you still feel that sense of inadequacy of this is so nothing, so much a drop in the bucket of what I should be doing for Hashem. Okay, so with that, we conclude the seventh parak. Let's just briefly review the five symptoms of hachna'a that he told us here in this parak. One was the ability to let things go by. Even when he's very much provoked, very hurt, very angered, he just lets things go by and does not respond even when he could. This is a siman of hachna. Number two was the way he relates to misfortune that comes upon him. He just lowers his head and says, I remember hearing people saying things like, I was actually once in a waiting room in the hospital when there was a woman there, traditional, dressed very, very far from the desired standard of halacha. And she was saying something about a child's condition. She said, this is something I can't accept. She was talking about Hashem. This is something I can't accept. This is something unacceptable. That a child should be put to this kind of, this is something unacceptable. There's no justification for this. She's saying Torah Hashem. Now, after giving the caveat that where she's coming from, this perhaps might actually express a level of closeness, but we want to approach it from a purely objective point of view and understand how utterly ridiculous it is to say something like that. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter makes the point that he says when a person is trying to figure out if he is receiving the schar for his mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. How do we know if we're receiving the schar for mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh? Yisrael Salanter is very harsh about this. He says, we all think to ourselves, if you ask, are you being paid off for your mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh? We would all think to ourselves, I'm being paid off for my mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. Mele, if I had what this fellow had and what this... You could talk about that. But me, I have a tough life, right? I'm struggling to make ends meet. How can he say that I'm being paid off for my mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh? So Rishol Salanta says, one minute. He says, there are people who are greater than you, who have a lower material standard than you, right? That means that you have more than you deserve. That means that you have more than you deserve, especially if you think in terms of history, right? We all live in luxury today relative to what people had in the past. So he said, if you're talking about what your mitzvahs really deserve, you could probably go down a few more notches in material standards also. So the fact that you have the material standard that you have is enough for you to be concerned that perhaps I'm being paid off for my mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. And it's a scary thing. His point is, once again, he's making the point that we're making here, for you to lower your head and say, Hashem, I'm completely undeserving. I acknowledge that, and therefore, I'm just going to respond to your goodness by doing everything I can, whatever I can possibly do, to justify it. And I don't want to just leave it at that because that kind of leaves things on a depressing note. But the point that the Chavis HaMavis makes earlier in Sha'avodas HaLikim is that even if you were to discover that the things that you have are paying you off for your mitzvahs, you can actually turn that around by utilizing them themselves for Avodas Hashem. And that actually turns around their designation. That turns around their designation. Then they're being given to you as means to get more Olam Haba instead of paying you off for your mitzvahs. But that's the point. Don't just sit complacently and say, well, whatever I have, I deserve. Any misfortune that comes a person's way, Chalila, why would Hashem be doing this? This is unacceptable. Or another person, I heard somebody saying, this is also, again, we're talking about people from simple backgrounds. I'm not judging them, but I'm using it just to bring out the ridiculousness of it. I heard somebody saying they were considering whether they should make Aliyah or not, whether they come to Eretz Yisrael or not. So this person, he said, I said to Hashem, I have a few things that are non-negotiable. Right? And I'm considering if I'm going to move there. I have a few things that are non-negotiable. A, B, and C are non-negotiable. I smiled very sweetly, and I'm thinking to myself, one minute, your life is negotiable. Right? The fact that you said, what do you mean non-negotiable? Now, this is Kenia ABC. This is Kenia 101. The understanding that you're over your head no matter what. You're over your head no matter what. And therefore, we shouldn't be put to this test. But he's saying that one of the simanim of Kenia is that when a person does undergo some misfortune, he just takes it with a lowered head. Just takes it with a lowered head. And doesn't come and say, Hashem, after all I did for you, this is what I get. This is Kenia. Number three was the way a person responds to praise or being put down, having bad things said about him. Praise, he responds with discomfort because he is very, very clearly living with that sense of inadequacy. Whatever I'm doing is not enough. If a person comes and starts making a big deal about the things that I do, my feeling is one of mortification toward Hashem. Say that when Hashem is not here. Right? That's like the. But in Hashem's presence, it's just embarrassing to hear how great my actions are. That's on the one hand. And on the other hand, when bad things are said about him, so he doesn't, as we discussed last time, his feeling is more like, well, my mortification toward Hashem is so great that what's this adding already? And your response is more like, no, you discovered this. There's another 20 things that you didn't know, that you didn't discover. But it doesn't respond with indignant. Number four was the way he responds to prestige. He responds to prestige or to wealth by lowering his head even more. And number five was the lesson that we saw now, the ability to subject yourself to Din Shamayim without Hashem bringing it on you. Okay, we'll stop here. A guten Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
If I-